Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I am Brian Wampler, back again with Blake Weiland, Mr. Tone Mob himself. And today, well, let me just start out with this. You might want to skip until about 15 minutes into it because we totally go completely off topic right from the get-go. It's kind of funny in a way. I do a great Luke Bryan impersonation you might really like. Maybe not. I don't know. But we actually, we do answer some other questions about EQ in the mix of a band. We talk about Boss's new product and the Boss DS2 schematic, if you like talking about schematic stuff. So let's get right into that.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Mr. Blake.
We just have to pretend like we haven't been talking for 15 minutes already. Can we do
that? Well, that's true. We've already talked about everything. So thanks for listening to the podcast, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in, Brian. I mean, wait. Well, I'm sure somebody named Brian is tuning in, other than you.
Maybe. Only the cool people are named Brian. Yeah. You know?
Hey, if you're a Brian and you listen to this podcast, shoot us an email just so we know that there's other Brians in the world. Because who knows? There might not be any other Brians.
That's true. I could be the only one. You know?
It's true. I know there's like, I think like four Blakes in my Facebook group, including me. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't run into that many Blakes, but there's four of them there.
Well, you'll have that.
Hi, guys. You know? So I was getting ready to record this today, and I stumbled across something, and I couldn't figure out what it was for a second, and then it all came rushing back to me. I seen this piece of paper on the floor, and I was like, what is this thing? And I picked it up, turned it over, and it's the chords... The chords and lyrics to Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Well, of course. I mean, like, who doesn't have that laying on the floor?
You never know when you might need it. and I was like, why in the heck do I have this on? And then I remembered it was a thing.
You're jamming.
I was jamming it. I like that song. I don't care what anyone thinks about it. This is a good tune right there. You want me to sing it to you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Time can never mend. No?
No.
Careless Whisper. Okay. I'll stop. I'm sorry. I was doing a live stream where I was playing and singing that song because everybody was doing 80s and 90s covers in the Gear Slum Facebook group. And I was like, that's the
on
one
Facebook
I'm going to do.
Live.
Yep.
So on the Gear Slum Facebook group. The thing is to do cover songs on live.
Well, it was for a little while. There's a new thing in there every week, it seems.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great time. So I chose Careless Whisper by George Michael and did a really bad version of it.
That's absolutely amazing.
There's some pretty good covers in there, I got to say. Some of the guys really pulled out all the stops.
I'll have to check that out because I've got nothing else to do with my life.
I'm sure, yeah. You got nothing else going on. What do you, you know? You were only up to what, like 5 in the morning?
5 a.m., yeah.
Now, to clarify, you didn't wake up at 5 a.m. You were until 5 a.m.
I went to sleep at 5 a.m. and then woke up 6 hours later to podcast. And yes. Here we are. Welcome.
Yes. Welcome to this Brian Wampler... Sleep deprivation. Yes.
Yeah, the sleep deprivation podcast featuring your host. I forget my name.
Introducing your host, I can't feel my face.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's everybody should, listen to the Careless Whisper and jam.
I think so.
That's definitely what I would do with my day.
I'm going to play that as soon as we're done hopping off because you wouldn't let me sing it with my full passion and love that I have.
Oh, I know. I'm a tyrannical beast of a ruler or whatever. I don't know. So I do actually have something for you.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this or not, but on our own Facebook page, appropriately tired. You can hear I'm tired. Appropriately titled the Wampler Pedals Tone Group. I created a poll recently. Because it's that time of year before NAMM whenever all the magazines email Brian like, hey Brian, you should put an ad in our magazine. Like really, like you should do that. All right, Mr. Guitar Magazine, how much is it? It's only $2,000.
That's it? Oh, what a bargain.
And I'm like, what? Why would I, like, that makes no sense. And here's the thing with guitar magazines. But if you don't advertise, we won't talk about your pedals. That's the way it works.
Right.
So, yeah, so I'm like, you know what? Like, you're holding me hostage. I don't like that. I think that you should be more fair. And if you want to review the pedal, then review the pedal. But
if you don't, then you don't.
Yeah, let's not be fake here. Let's not act like that. Like an ad does anything, right?
So it's not 1998.
Well, that's yeah. So I'm getting around there. So the last one I recently had, just mm-hmm. like yesterday or 2 days ago, was about the gear guides. You know, I don't know if you've seen it. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like a special part of the magazine where it's nothing but gear that's new, quote unquote, new gear that's came out this year, right?
Right. Yeah, I used to read those back in 2001.
Right. So yeah, you know, that's still a thing, and they still like to charge money for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know what, I'm gonna form some data, you know. And so I put up a poll, and it's literally it says, question: do you purchase the Gear Guide magazines showing mm-hmm. all the new equipment? And right. I started out with yes and no, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, no is leading 165-8.
Whoa.
So, but here's the other options. Like, it's even better because that's actually, it's even worse than that.
Okay.
So no is 165. The option, the internet, .. is 51.
Okay.
yes is 8. 3 is I come here, you know.
Right.
Like, no, I come here. And then 1 is this 1992?
Oh. That seems pretty much in line with what I would have guessed.
Right.
So
I've had this question from a few of the builders that like to listen to our podcast. So to you guys or gals, mm-hmm. That's your data for guitar magazines. There you
yes.
go.
Amongst people who purchase guitar pedals, that that is how they've 8 of them.
Right.
Eight of them buy the gear magazine.
Right. So 165 plus, that's 200. So 4%. 4% of our audience looks at those magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet dramatically less even care about the ads in the magazines. So that's why you should pay $2,000 for an ad.
Right.
Makes
definitely,
sense.
Definitely don't take that money and put it somewhere else. You should definitely pay that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
You probably would get better luck taking that $2,000 and taking a vacation to the beach and talking to people who play you around the beach. Like, hey, you play guitar? I sell guitar pedals. Like, you'll probably get better results that way.
I mean, it's crazy how much things have changed. Because, yeah, that used to be, that is how you got your information. They were kind of the gatekeepers. And now, like, everyone's the gatekeeper.
Yeah, they were like Gozer or Hoser or whatever it was on the Ghostbusters. They were the gatekeeper.
Hoser.
whatever. Hoser, Dozer.
I'm not even going to correct you. I'm just going to let you keep going on this. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. So.
I am Zool. There is no Dana. There is only Zool.
There is no Dana. There is only Zool.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Something to that effect. man, I love that movie. But no, it's amazing how much things have changed. And what's kind of great is, as a, you know, we're doing the Wampler pedal, or well, not really, just the business podcast with Blake and Brian.
Welcome to the business section of the Chasing Tone podcast.
Yes. It's great. It's kind of a great thing. You have more control these days over you know, how to get your message out there than ever. Like, it used to be that, yeah, the gear magazines and certain content creators were the only place to go. So that's right. why they could charge $2,000. Because right. how else was anybody going to get that information? They weren't.
Right. Like, how else are you going to find out about new gear? Like, if you don't put an ad, no one's going to know.
And back in the day, that was true.
Right. That just doesn't hold water anymore.
No.
So, yeah. So, you probably won't be seeing much Wampler in magazines.
I wouldn't anticipate it. Unless they change things dramatically. And I get this question a lot, too. Like, what do you think about magazine ads and paid ads? And I just tell people, like, as far as builders go in this, you know, this little niche that we're in, what are you trying to do? If your goal is to impress distributors and old school retailers, then yeah, that's going to do that. If your goal is to actually,
like, if your pocket's really heavy with all the cash in it,
right,
that will help lighten it.
Yeah, that will get rid of some of that.
Yes.
Or if you just want to actually have more, like, effective consumer-driven stuff, then no, it's not worth it. It just isn't. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, like me personally, they send me magazines, right? Because, like, we advertise from time to time.
Mm-hmm. And, or you used to.
I mean, like, very, very, very seldom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a literal, I'm trying to think of how to put this in words because my brain's not on.
Yeah.
So this box is 2 foot wide by, 2 foot wide across, 2 foot wide each way, maybe 2 foot wide deep or 2 foot deep. And it's full of guitar magazines.
Right.
That they just send them. They just keep sending them. And I'm like, throw in this box. So now I'm stuck. Like, I have all these guitar magazines. I don't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can't sell them on eBay because no one wants to buy guitar magazines, you know?
No.
I guess I could throw them away, but then I'm like, that just seems like a waste. Like, no one wants these things? Like, you know? Maybe I need to...
I got the answer. Should,
uh-huh.
Recycle them. Just throw them in the old paper recycling.
I guess I could.
I don't know what else.
But that would require me picking up a big, huge, heavy box full of magazines. It's the problem. That requires a lot of work to do something with it.
I think you should come out with a line of paper mache pedals.
You know what I should do? I should just start including one. Like, the next, as pedals ship, just throw a magazine in the box. Be like, somebody gets a bonus.
Here you go. Figure out how
to pedal, and they'll be like, why is there a magazine from 2004 in here?
Oh, right. We got another one with Steve Vai on the cover. This is fantastic.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that if I was running a magazine right now, I probably would do things dramatically different.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think Gearphoria and the Tone Report, I think they got a pretty cool thing. It's online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's relevant, cool stuff happening, and, you know, they're good peeps to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Those
magazines are much more, you know, forward thinking in my mind. Like, look, I can bring it up on my iPad or my phone. Like,
right.
There it is. And I mean, I don't know if this holds true with you, but I know that for the vast majority of anybody that I talk to, and for myself personally, 70% of the traffic that comes to my website and most other people's that I talk to is mobile. Uh-huh. It's all mobile.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone's
looking at everything on their iPads and their iPhones and whatever device they have. That's just
right.
where we're at.
Yeah, with my stats, it's dramatically more phone than iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I think iPad is like 7% or something like that.
Yeah, it's the phone, man.
Yeah. So everybody's looking at our pedals are 1 inch wide, you know?
Subcompact. I can fit so many of them on my board. It's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I thought that poll was quite interesting. I mean, I guess I expected it, but I thought it was interesting that it was dramatically, you know, the culture's changed that much, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even go to, like, when you go to the grocery store, you used to be able, there used to be a magazine section, you know? Mm-hmm. And we don't even have that here, anyways, anymore.
That's a good point. I don't know. There's no magazine section. There's not. I'm trying to think. There is a small magazine section in my local grocery store, but it's way smaller, like, than it used to be.
The tabloids and stuff or whatever in it, right?
Yeah, it's, and they got, like, the magazines at the checkout counter, but there's no guitar magazines.
Right. Which, why else would, like, why wouldn't you have a guitar magazine in the grocery store, you know? You should. If I was running a grocery store, it'd be nothing but guitar magazines.
Oh, that's how you get all the business.
Right. Yeah.
You know? You charge those magazines $2,000 a piece to be in your store.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of grocery stores, you know you're getting old whenever you're in the grocery store and you're like, you're digging the song. And you're like bobbing your head and walking around jamming. You're like, oh, holy crap, I'm old.
Well, see, I wonder.
But this car song is great.
Well, see, that's happened to me a few times, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if that makes me old or if the store is just super hip or what. I don't know. Not that I'm super hip, but, like, I was in the grocery store the other day, and I don't know if you know this band or not, but a Flogging Molly song was playing. I love Flogging Molly. And it was like, What? In a grocery? Okay. This is like, all right. It's like Celtic influence kind of punk stuff.
Yeah, we don't play that here at our Walmart. Uh-uh. Okay. Nope.
I've heard The Clash on more than one occasion in my local Fred Meyer.
Yeah, but you're in Portland, dude. I'm in Martinsville, Indiana.
Well, which, that's a good point.
So, like, you walk into the grocery store here, usually it's like Luke Bryan or something.
Hi, my name's Luke Bryan, and I'm going to play you a song right now. Here it goes.
You know, it's like something like that.
That's exactly how he sounds. It's great.
He kind of got this thing like that, you know. It's almost like a Kermit the Frog sort of thing. I'm Kermit the Frog. It's almost like that, but it's not that enunciated. So you're like, hi, I'm Luke Bryan, gonna sing you a song about trucks and girls and beer, you know. So
I'm sorry. I can't. So, that was fantastic. I can't wait to see what Joshua does with that one.
Oh, I can keep going. Got me a truck, got me some beard. All needs my woman by my side. Yep.
Oh, Joshua, I can't wait. This is going to be a good week. This is going to be a great week.
And then you have the heckler. Oh, I swear, like, that guy sucks. Oh, like, he's got the cowboy hat and the tight jeans, and, like, he's got, like, cowboy boots, but all he does is talk about trucks. He sucks so bad.
Did you just do an impression of me in the crowd? Because that's what it would have been.
That would be you at a Luke Bryan concert.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. But then... You know,
I would not be caught dead at a Luke Bryan concert.
Well, you would if your wife wanted to go.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Well, then we're two totally different people, because my wife would be like, he's so hot.
Yeah, well, goodness. My wife feels the same way that I do about Luke Bryan, so I'm a lucky man.
Yeah. Well, actually, my wife is not. She's not big on Luke Bryan. She has been pretty big on Keith Urban, but she's chilled out on that lately.
Was it because I sent that message to you?
No, she didn't find that funny. But
I don't think people think inside jokes that they aren't a part of are as funny, so maybe we'll stop
right,
talking
about
that.
Yeah, we'll leave that there. But yeah, so anyways, I have no idea where I was going with that. I was just totally BSing out my butt, so I don't know.
Okay.
Continue on to steer us back on track, Master.
I don't remember where we were going or where we were heading, but you know what I've decided? Mm-hmm. I've decided.
You have.
Yes. I've decided that.
That's a fascinating story, Blake.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. You know, I just did a post on Instagram saying, I'm getting ready to record Chasing Tone, and I hear that Brian might replace me with Robert Keeley, so I got to bring my A game. And so far, I feel like I have not done that. So
yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to Robert this morning because I was sleeping. sorry, dude. I'll have to catch up with you later.
So we can tease that, though. Like, Rob's going to come on here pretty soon, right?
I hope so.
Like that's the idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to do it yesterday, and then he had some things come up, so we rescheduled it for today, but I wasn't planning on having work calls until 5 a.m. in the morning. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can speak from experience. He's a great guest. He's probably one of my favorite guys that I've had on the show.
So. Hey! I've been on your show twice. What do you mean he's your favorite guy?
I said one of my favorite guys.
Oh, you can't even go back on that now.
He's been on the show twice, too. Uh-oh. Is that bad?
Well, we're in a competition here. I need to be on the show again, then.
Okay, well, we'll just keep this rolling, and we'll cut it off and bring it back.
We'll just use this for your show.
No, this is not good. This doesn't meet my standards.
I know. This doesn't meet my standards. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm reaching deep. Like we've talked about so many things. I feel like there's got to be a way to make this relevant to guitar pedals again, and I don't know what that way is.
Well, I could talk about the question that I had about miking amps and fitting in a mix.
Okay. All right. Let's get the people some information 20 minutes
all
in.
All right. So now that we've been on here for 21 minutes, let's talk about guitar stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here is the email. I've been experiencing problems mixing live sound at church. Could you give your knowledge, mm-hmm. as Ty would say, of miking and EQing an AC-15 and a 212 Hot Rod DeVille amp? Also run acoustic direct into the mixing board. Mm-hmm. Acoustic guitar is out front in the mix, ran close to flat, with a good size mid-cut around 1.2K, about a medium Q and a 5 dB cut. That would not be flat, by the way. The vocals I add a very wide Q. So let me stop here. If you don't know what a Q is, it's kind of like the best way to imagine it is the width of the EQ. So if someone's talking about, like, I'm at 1K, what that a narrow Q would be, like, 1K, you're moving 1K, maybe 900 hertz, maybe 1.1K, okay?
Yeah. It's the range, right. Like you said.
Right. So a very wide one would be you're actually affecting 500 hertz to 2K,
mm-hmm.
but your center is 1K. So that would be a very big Q there. Okay, so anyways. So the vocals, I add a very wide Q boost across the upper to lower mids. Boost is about 3 dB.
Mm-hmm.
The vocals usually play a moderate distortion with the upper harsh highs slopped off. That's not vocals. That's
I was going
to
say, he's running, at, I was going to say, distorted vocals at church so is let, a unique thing.
Right, yeah, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. This is Vox, the amp, AC-15.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand the confusion
okay,
now.
Okay, sorry. So let me back up.
Yeah.
The Vox amp, I had a very wide Q boost across the upper to lower mids, boosted at 3 dB. Also plays a moderate distortion with upper harsh highs slopped off.
Okay.
Okay, so that makes much more sense now.
Yes.
The DeVille, somewhat the same, except I leave the top end more intact.
Mm-hmm.
He plays more of an ambient reverb sort of thing. So he said, my biggest problem is consistently in the mixing of the two. Either I can't keep them sitting in the mix or one drops off. Then the rest of the time, they aren't playing loud enough to do much with. No real answer for that. The acoustic guitar is a worship leader and the guitar sound is full range. Compressing all the guitars at the board. The Vox AC-15 is mic'd with a 57, SM57, DeVille with an Audix 5. Picked up a Sennheiser E609, but have not got the time to use it yet. Electric guitar players are not fantastic players, but I know much of the time they drop out of the mix is due to them thinking they're too loud.
Okay.
Anyway, with the keyboard, it gets to be a loud, crowded mix. Whew!
That was a long one. Wow. Okay.
Man, oh man. All right. So where'd you start there, Blake?
So,
I got my ideas.
So the first thing that comes to mind, so I should preface this with I don't have any experience mixing live sound, but I'm just kind of going off my somewhat limited knowledge of EQs and ranges and blah. Yes, exactly.
Knowledge, yeah.
Yes. So to me, it sounds like he's got I know these are both very different sounding amps, but it sounds like he's got the Vox and the DeVille EQ'd close to the same. Now, if they're EQ'd close to the same and the guitar players are both kind of getting this similar-ish range of sounds out of them, they're not going to stand out from each other. You know right. what I mean? They need to be EQ'd differently. So what it sounds like to me is he's got a... So when people talk about mid-range, I'm going to give credit where credit's due here. Jay Leonard J did an excellent video on EQing here recently, and it gave me a lot of insight. So when we talk about mids like they're this general thing, when really they're not. They're the mids are a long range of...
Right, there's a huge frequency spectrum that you could call mids.
Yes. Yep. So basically, he's got... And guitars, vocals, and keyboards are all, for the most part, mid-range focused sounds.
Yes.
What you got to do is carve out, if you want everything to sound good in the mix, and also says it sounds, that acoustic guitar is full range, he said. So basically, right. you got all of these instruments competing for the same frequency spectrum.
Yes. Yep.
So what I would do is I would take each one and EQ it. And honestly, we've talked about this before. Sometimes bad tone is the right tone.
Right. In the mix of a song, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you take it and you isolate it down, like, okay, we want the Vox to occupy this, higher frequency, you know, whatever it is. And then you kind of let each instrument sit in its own frequency, like very limited range, so that they all stand out. And together, they should combine and be really full sounding. The one that I was thinking when he said that the DeVille was very like ambient sounding, like lots of reverb and stuff. Was that?
Yes. Yeah.
So that can get muddy in a big hurry. I would say like set that one up focus for the higher end of the mid range,
right.
because you get a bunch of low frequencies with a whole bunch of reverb. It's just going to build on itself and it's just going to be this big pile of mush.
It is. It's just going to be a bunch of noise that doesn't. I mean, it's. Yeah, mush is the best way to put it. Just a bunch of like playing three different songs at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to be able to decipher much.
No.
So I think, I know other guys in bands like where, you have like three guitar players and they'll just talk like, all right, I'm going to set my stuff up for more like 1K. He's going to set his stuff up more for like 800. He's going to set his stuff up more like 1.5K. So like, they're already kind of niching themselves in the frequency because they know like they're going to be fighting for all this stuff, right?
Right.
And I think that's just experienced players who understand they're going to do that, and the guy at the board knows that they're going to do that, so they're working together to kind of fill out the frequency spectrum.
Right.
I think it's going to take sitting down with guitar, not sitting down necessarily, but going to the guitar players to be like, dude, don't worry about the volume. I got the volume. You set your volume. Don't touch it after that.
Right. Like,
you just set it. I'm going to put this duct tape over your knob so you can't touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you don't have to worry about whether you're too loud or not. If you're too loud, I will turn you down.
Yeah. Like, I got you. Don't worry.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, like, don't do that. And then, the way you described having all the different frequencies, I can't add to that. That's the way to do it. So just, in the mix, this guy's going to be in this part of the frequency spectrum. This guy's going to be here. If he's real reverby, then you may want to put him in a little bit higher in the frequency spectrum,
mm-hmm.
That way the reverbs don't get, like, all foggy and, like a buildup of low mid stuff,
Exactly.
Where it just starts sounding like, you can't hear any clarity of it.
Yeah.
But especially in a praise and worship situation, I think you got to be really careful of all the ambient style effects, especially those ethereal types.
See what you did there.
You see what I'm doing there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This podcast sponsored by the new Wampler Ethereal Delay and Reverb.
Yes. And sinusoid cables.
And sinusoid cables. Anyways.
Yes.
So yeah, you got it there perfectly, my man.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I see. I don't, since I don't mix or do anything like that. I can't hear like, hey, that's 1.7K. You know, I don't know what that is. I just know low, high, mid.
Right.
You know, like I couldn't give you specific numbers like some guys could, but I will say this. So I play in a band with three guitar players, and mm-hmm. especially when we're recording, we're like, okay, what are you playing? You got a Les Paul? Okay, well, I'm going to play a Telecaster then. You know, like, we do that, you know. And I think subconsciously now, because we've been playing together for so long, even when we're just practicing, well, I know I look at their rigs, I'm like, okay, he's probably going to sound somewhere in that ballpark, so I'm going to occupy the lower end or the higher end or wherever.
Right.
I just do it.
And it's not, yeah, and it's, you're not usually setting it up in the same way that you would set it up at home, you know?
No.
Because, like, you know, at home, I want, like, as big full frequencies as I can, you know? So, like, I'll have more bottom end, I'll have more top end. But throwing that in a band with three guitar players, you're going to get lost,
mm-hmm.
sound-wise, you know?
Totally.
So, I mean, yeah, so, you know, you guys are smart. You're smartical.
No, we just have done this for a while. I don't think we're very smart, but...
So you stumbled on it smart. By chance.
Well, we... I don't know. We've always been, we're all gearheads and we're all real conscious of our sound and conscious of the end result, you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, and when we went into the recording process, it was like, we were just very, that was some of the most fun thing. I think I haven't talked about this in a long time, but we would set up each other's rigs. You know, we would call each other, hey, we need a tone consultation. And the other guy would run in there and he'd be like, and be like, oh, what are we doing here? And like, I'm going to play this part. What pedals, what amp, what, you know, I'm going to play this guitar. I really want to play this guitar. So what should I do here? And we would literally dial in the other guy's rig for him so he could just
band meeting.
Yep. It was really fun. Like that was super fun to me to like, get all my pedals and like, all right, Jess, we're gonna use this distortion and we're gonna, and it was cool, but like, it
and
also
was like the DS1 again. Come on, Blake.
Yeah, right? It was good enough for Kurt. It's good enough for you. Also, here's this left-handed jazz master or Jaguar. Oh, yes. I don't know how to play lefty.
I think Kurt actually played a DS2, didn't he? Not a DS1. Not a DS2.
I don't think
so. We're talking about Kurt Cobain, by the way.
Yes.
I
thought he played DS1.
I thought it was a DS2, which actually is very similar to a DS1 in part of the circuit, if I recall right.
Yep. Well,
yep.
I wouldn't know.
I think, you know, there's only one real way to find that out, you know?
Google. Boss. Oh, get a guitar magazine.
Definitely. Hold on, let me dig through this box. Surely I got a schematic of the Boss DS2 here somewhere.
Right.
You know? So here's the deal. If I was a Boss DS2, I would... Wait, that's a BD2. That's not a DS2. You know?
Why can't I picture a DS2 in my head as a thing?
I think... Come on, man. Come on, stop being... My internet's totally being stupid.
Hold on. See if I can come to the rescue here.
That's a DS1. This is great podcast.
This is great. Yeah, let's make sure there's a lot of awkward pauses and silence while we Google furiously.
Yeah, the Boss DS2 turbo distortion.
Oh, that's right. The turbo. Right. The turbo. Yeah. I forgot about that thing. I totally...
Yep.
It's basically a DS1 with extra tone controls, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's a DS. Let's see. You got go through the buffer. Got a switch there. You go through another buffer. Ooh. Oh. I like that. So that's a discrete. That's discrete gain staging right there.
This is great casting.
No. That's it's actually looking at it. Unless it's the wrong schematic, which doesn't seem to be. It's not a. It's not like the DS1. I was incorrect, my friend.
Well,
it's actually very cool. It's discrete gain stages. I totally forgot about this. That's
it's discrete. Really? It won't rat you out.
It won't.
That was
say
a double.
A word.
That was a double joke. I don't know if anybody.
Yeah.
It won't rat you out.
Yeah, it's a pro go at doing that.
Totally.
No, like, you know, one of the things, this is totally changing the subject, but one of the things I've always been impressed by boss stuff
mm-hmm.
is that they really are freaking unique, man. They really are.
Right.
I mean, like,
the engineers
other than the
are.
SD1. Yeah.
They're legit.
The boss SD1. Yeah, totally. I mean, like, some of the stuff they do, I'm like, huh, that's cool. That's a cool circuit, you know? I'm surprised more people don't take advantage of those building blocks.
So, speaking of boss, since we're going down that train, I had Matt Knight from Guitar Nerds on my podcast here, I don't know, 2-3 weeks. I don't remember how many episodes ago, but a few episodes ago. And he not only does the Guitar Nerds podcast with some other fellas over there across the pond, but he also works for Boss. Have we talked about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think you've talked about that, but I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
So he works for Boss, and he told me about... Everyone's probably heard this by now, but I'm regurgitating stuff. But
well, I have not, so enlighten me.
Okay, he told me that story about the DD2, where they locked all the engineers in and said they can't come out till they figure out how to stick this chip into the Boss Compact pedal design.
Really?
Yeah, that I heard that years ago, and it turns out that actually happened, like for real. It's not just internet rumor. They literally locked their engineers, some of their younger engineers, in the room and was like, you guys aren't coming out until you figure out how to make this a product, basically.
No food for you until you figure it out.
Yeah, and this chip, my buddy Jess, he got an original DD2 recently, and the chip inside is huge. It's like almost exactly the same width as the pedal. So it's just a massive digital chip that was in a rack unit that they figured out how to shimmy into the little tiny Boss pedal. And I was like,
back in that day, that was completely unheard of.
Mm-hmm. You know? It was the first digital delay.
Right. It's not like today where you're like, oh, dude, there's like, you just buy the chip that does delay. You know?
Right.
Buy a spin chip and put something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it totally different back then. You're like, I've got this chip that... you know, all it does is allow code to be sent to it.
Right.
How do I make this into a guitar pedal? You know? Totally different than what it is today.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's easy, man. You just select program one and, like, you know.
And then it makes knobs. It you make a sound, and then it makes the same sound again a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun times. Yeah. So anyways, Boss actually is... you know, they get a bad rap for like being Boss pedals, but man, that's some bright ass dudes. Mm-hmm. You know, engineering for Boss. So,
oh yeah, did you see the new MS3 that came out?
You know what? I haven't. My head has been totally focused on what I've been doing. I've been out of sadly, I have been outside of the gear world for about a month now because I've been completely focused on some stuff. So.
Well, do you remember me talking about the ES8 switcher here a few episodes ago?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So they took the and they made the MS3. They basically have a like 3-loop switcher that's similar to the ES8. It doesn't have some of the functions that I really was into for the ES8 for, but they have a nice, you know, switcher, and then they have 200 digital effects in there. And they're
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
It's super cool. So their idea is like, obviously, you and I both know, everybody pretty much knows, that dirt sounds better in analog currently.
Yep.
It just does. And so it seems like they developed it with the theory of like, use your favorite dirt pedals in the loops. You got three different, you know, options. And then you got 200, you know, digital effects, which I don't know if everybody knows this, but it's all basically every reverb effect you have in a pedal format is digital. So
yes. Yeah. You're not doing, and I've had that question. Can you make an analog reverb? I sure could. It's called a spring tank.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or so, it's an actual plate reverb. It's only 8 feet wide.
Yeah.
I'll
take you to an echo chamber. There's some analog reverb
right.
for
we'll
you.
We'll just bring your favorite large church or auditorium to the gig. Throw an amp in there, put a mic at one end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Analog reverb.
But anyway, they basically took all the effects that are good digital effects, which is lots of stuff, and put it in there, and then you can choose any of the effects. So you got, maybe you got a flanger or a reverb or something, and you can put it in between your dirt pedals.
Or like I like to call it, a flanger.
A flanger, yeah.
That's what that's what I used to call it as little.
Yeah, you flang flang that sound.
Can you buy me the purple flanger from Boss?
You gotta flang that tone. Flang it around the room.
I literally thought that's how you pronounced it when I was a kid.
I remember. We've talked about this before.
We've talked about everything. Like, we've talked about this discussion. Everything. Like, literally, we've talked. It's like reaching the end of the internet. We've talked about everything. This is the last podcast we're ever doing.
People wonder why we go off topic so much. It's because we've talked about so many guitar topics.
We literally have. Like, people say, hey, you should talk about this. I'm like, episode 30. You should talk about that, episode 56. You should talk about this. We just did that last week.
Yeah, I mean, I've got questions like you know, we get the question, how many times have we been asked, why should you use an overdrive or a distortion?
Yes.
And I'm not saying that because I'm saying anybody's dumb. They probably just, they haven't played with it before. Like, there's new people discovering gear all the time. Right. I remember when I was like, when a guy was like, you should hit that with a tube screamer. I'm like, I never played with one of those. What is that?
You know? Why would I want to hit something with another pedal?
Yeah.
All right, I'll try.
It's not working.
It's not doing it. I just scratched it.
But I was like, yeah, I didn't know what a tube screamer did or was, you know? So everyone is there at some point. The point is like, for our repeat listeners, I don't want to tell them why they should use an overdrive when we've already discussed that a million times. But
I totally just breathed into the mic. I'm sure it was very loud on your end, listener. Sorry about that. And it's gone. It's gone. Never mind.
Never mind. We're not talking about that.
I totally forget what I was going to say. It's just literally gone.
Well,
holy cow, I suck when I don't sleep. This is going to be a fun day. Oh, my kids are in for a rude awakening. Dad, why are you putting mayonnaise on my pizza? I don't know.
It looked like butter. Well, why would you put butter on a pizza? I don't know. Just leave me alone.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well,
anyways, you said was probably good because it's gone.
We're not going to stop podcasting. That's a dirty lie. But we try not to rehash topics too often, although we do sometimes. And for that, I apologize.
Well, which brings me up to my next topic. True bypass versus buffered bypass.
That's a new one. That's a new one. Why would you want buffered bypass over true bypass? No, we're not doing it. We're not even going to joke about it. I'm done with that subject.
I will.
I do have one note about that, actually, that's kind of relevant, if you want to talk about it. Do you?
Sure. Well, we're 40 minutes in this, so we'll wrap it up with this topic. Yep.
Okay. So it's not really, it's more of an observation. I'm starting to notice a few companies here and there basically saying, no, this isn't true bypass. And we didn't use it, make it true bypass because we wanted to include a nice buffer. I'm like starting to see a little bit of backlash against quote unquote true bypass these days. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, like the Artumnus or a lot of Klon based circuits, you know, are not true bypass. Because that Klon circuit, which Bill Finnegan did, is a really good buffer, you know? And I think a lot of people like the sound of that buffer in their chain. So, you know, you'll see a lot of circuits that are based on the Klon that are not true bypass. Our ethereal delay and reverb that's due out June 16th.
Ooh.
The lushness, ambient type of delay and reverb that you can get from the Wampler Ethereal available June 16th has a switch on the side that you can go true bypass
or
non-true
trails,
bypass.
Right?
Or trails, yeah, which is not true bypass, but it's buffered bypass. And you're saying, why would you do that, Brian? I can hear that's what you're saying. And the reason is because it allows you to have a lot of ambient type of effects, like the feedback's up, and it's like droning on. You got all this cool stuff going on, and you turn it off, and it's still going on in the background, but then you're playing something different over that stuff that's replicating. And It's fine. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's
hence good. The term
it's
trails.
It's got a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, like Luke Bryan says, something about a truck. You know?
I guess that's the way to wrap this up. I'm wondering how many people actually made it through all the nonsense to get to where we actually gave out useful information.
So what I do is, no one knows this, I actually do the intros and outros after Blake and I hang up. And so maybe I start the intro with like, hi, this is Brian at the Jason Tone Podcast. Skip to 25 minutes.
Right. Yeah, I think a good warning is probably suitable for this particular episode. I think if you're looking for nonsense, go ahead and listen to the whole thing. If you want to actually hear some details about that you might find useful, skip to 25 minutes. That's good.
Yeah. I probably should do something like that just to warn some people.
It's a good idea.
All right, good talking to you, Blake.
Yes. Thanks, Brian. I will see you or talk to you if you haven't replaced me with Robert Keeley next time.
Later.
Bye.
So thanks again for listening to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can email Blake if you have a question specifically for Blake at info@tonemob.com. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.